Welcome to The Workplace, a podcast by Cal Chamber. I'm Alan Zarenberg, Cal Chamber's president and CEO. And today on the podcast, I'm joined by Virginia Varello, president and CEO of Golden Pacific Bank, and Joe McClure, the bank's executive vice president and chief business officer. Together, we are going to work through the disaster relief programs put in place by the federal government to help small businesses financially during the COVID-19 crisis. Specifically, we will be talking about what programs are available, how businesses can determine which of those programs best meet their needs, and how they can access funds. And welcome Virginia and Joe. And we're recording this today on April 2nd. Tomorrow's April 3rd is the date that you can start to apply for federal loans, SBA loans under the CARES Act. And we think it's very timely that we have this discussion today, even though things are ever changing in terms of the regulations. The president recently signed the CARES Act. It has a program in it for small businesses. Why don't we start with that program, the SBA loan program, which can be turned into a grant. How do people, what's the details of it? And after that, how do people go about actually doing the execution to be eligible and get access to that money?
Great questions, Alan. And I want to kind of just pedal back a little bit, because the $2 trillion stimulus package, the CARES Act, provides relief to small businesses, and it's recognizing that small businesses are the engine of the economy. So there's actually more than just that PPP program that everybody's talking about and that you're referencing. And I just want to mention that there's more than one program. There's several parts of the CARES Act that small businesses should know about. So if you're a small business with fewer than 500 employees and you've been hit and affected by COVID-19, you need funding to support ongoing businesses, your operations, you want to know that if you already have an existing SBA 7A loan, you can immediately get the SBA to cover your interest and principal payments for a six-month period beginning with your April payment. So if you hadn't already been contacted by your banker, you should be aware that for the next six payment periods, you're not expected to pay those. And we just got notice of that late on the 27th of this month, March. And that kicked in. So with the April 1st payment that many borrowers make, they may not realize that they don't have to make that April 1st payment. So that's one thing that came out of the CARES program. The other program that you're talking about, Alan, is the PPP, Paycheck Protection Program. There's another program called the Emergency Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, EIDL. So we could talk more about those programs, but there's a lot of focus on the Paycheck Protection Program because it looks like you get some free money out of it because it's offered by the banks. But actually, the EIDL program is a great program too, and that's directly through the SBA. So I can actually, if you want, Alan.
Yeah, why don't we start with the Paycheck Protection Program a little bit about who's eligible. What do you have to do to access that capital? What are the terms? These are a lot of questions, but I think everybody needs to know. And then how do you do it? Is there a form that the government's put out that everybody needs to fill out? And do you need to have a banker to be able to take advantage of this? You just can't fill out the form yourself, right? You have to work with a banker on this?
Sure. I can kind of walk you through some of those details.
Yeah.
With respect to the loan amount, it is really tied to your average monthly payroll costs over the last 12 months. And really, when you think about the Paycheck Protection Program, it's designed to do just what it says, is to protect the paycheck of employees of small businesses. And so from an eligibility standpoint, you need to be a business that is a small business based on SBA's criteria, which means you have less than 500 employees, or if you're in a manufacturing industry, it goes based on your NAICS code. Now, that's your typical eligibility criteria from SBA. They've expanded on that for those businesses in the food and accommodation NAICS code, i.e. restaurants and hotels. And so what they've said is that 500 cap in terms of your employees, instead of looking at your entire business, they're going to look at each location. And as long as you don't have more than 500 employees per location, you can still apply and be eligible. And so that was their way to open up that eligibility for some of your larger food and accommodation businesses who normally would not be available for SBA financing. The next step, once you've decided that you're eligible, you say, well, how much can I borrow? And so that's where you need to go back and you need to research and work with your payroll department or your payroll processing company and find out what was your average payroll costs, your monthly average payroll costs over the last 12 months. And payroll cost has a very specific definition in the law. And again, I'm speaking directly from the law itself because we don't have any guidance from SBA as of the recording of this podcast. So I want to make sure that's very clear. 5 minutes from now, we might have guidance. But as of this minute, that is salary, wages, and commissions, cash tips, payment for vacation, parental, family, medical, or sick leave, an allowance for dismissal or separation costs, and then payments required for the provision of group health care benefits like insurance premiums, and then payment of any retirement benefit that you as the business are paying on behalf of your employees. And then lastly, they also include payment of state or local taxes assessed on the compensation of employees. It is silent when it comes to federal taxes. And so because the law is silent, we've taken that to mean that we can include that. So we've actually included that in our calculation when talking to customers.
Joe, this is an important aspect, the definition, because even though you can spend some of the loan money on rent and utilities, 75% has to be spent on payroll as you just defined it. Is that correct?
Yes. And again, we haven't gotten to the use of funds. This is only to determine how much I can borrow. So
okay.
I want people to make sure they understand the distinction there. They can't go back and figure out what they paid on rent and utilities. That doesn't factor in to how much you can borrow. That factors into how you can use the funds, right?
Great.
So how much you can borrow is that average monthly cost of payroll over the last 12 months. And then, and what we're saying is, you know, and based on our direction from Treasury, just go back and look at your payroll for 2019. Let's try to simplify this and streamline it. We need to get the money in the hands of the businesses tomorrow, not 3 weeks from now. So if you come up with a W-3 or you know, four quarters of 941s, you can figure that out and then go back and look at your invoices and premium invoices for your other items, retirement benefits and group health care benefits, and then your payroll information will have your state and local and federal tax. So you take all that, find out what that average number is, multiply it times 2.5, that's how much you can borrow, okay? So the next step is, great, what does that mean to me? What's the interest rate? How does this whole thing work? So as of today, which is different than yesterday, as of today, the interest rate is 1%, and it's a two-year loan. So, okay, you're sitting there, you're Joe business owner, you have no business right now because you're shut down because of COVID, but you've either kept your employees or you've rehired them back because now you've gotten the money for their salaries and benefits. And so what you do is you pay those folks over the next 8 weeks. In addition to that, because you're getting 2.5 times your salary and you have 8 weeks to spend it, so you can spend those 2 months worth on your salary, then you have another 25% left over. You can use that during the 8 week period to pay your rent, the interest on your mortgage for your location, as well as your utilities. So then at the end of that 8 week period, you're going to have to make another application to your lender and say, here, I certify that I use these funds for these purposes, and here are the invoices and proof that I've actually paid that out over the last 8 weeks. And then the loan is considered forgiven. It's not taxable income to the business, and you move on. Now, if you have some money left over that you haven't used for those purposes, then that loan is still your obligation at 1% over, and it's amortized over the next, whatever it is, year and 10 months.
So now, Joe, just can I ask a question there for some people? Some people have had to lay people, you know, their revenues dropped off just like they were on a cliff. The day the orders came to shelter in place, their revenues disappeared. And mm-hmm. so they laid off their employees. In order to make this work for them, they have to rehire their employees. Is that correct? They have to spend it on employees, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have to spend, like you said, a majority of that over the next 8 weeks on employees. Now, I'm not going to tell you you have to rehire those employees that you just laid off.
No,
but I would expect most people would do that. Right. And hopefully,
yes.
You know, that's really the intent of the law is to keep those people on the payroll mm-hmm. and making sure, because you may not be getting any revenue as a business. You may. But if you're not, at least you can cover the costs of keeping those folks on the payroll.
And the whole focus is to try to get people employed. So if you've laid people off, you can rehire. The point is to try to get up to the same level of payroll that you had before COVID kicked in.
Right, because there are some stipulations. If you reduce people's pay or you reduce
yeah.
the number of FTEs over that eight-week period, that could affect the amount that you could get forgiven.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, the goal here is interesting, and for everybody to know, you may look at your daily revenues and say, I can't afford to hire these people back, but that's exactly what the purpose of this loan and forgiveness program it is, so that the business will hire them even if they don't have revenues coming in the door.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a job protection program in a lot of ways too.
Right, right. Now, in terms of applying for it, it's very simple. I encourage you to go on the Treasury website, which is www.treasury.gov, and click on the COVID link. There's an FAQ for borrowers, there's an FAQ for lenders, and then there's an actual application that you can download. It's 4 pages. 2 pages are yes and no questions. And a box where you fill in that average monthly salary or payroll costs, and then the rest of those 2 pages is you are certifying to a lot of items that we typically would gather as a banker, but you're going to certify to those as a lender, or excuse me, as a borrower, and then the other 2 pages are a bunch of governmentees. So what the intent for me telling you that is, if you don't use this money for the intent that you're taking it for, it's right here in the government, in the Treasury's website, with big bold letters. If the proceeds are used for fraudulent purposes, the government will pursue criminal charges against you. And I think that's very important for people to remember. If you want to try to, you know, play games here, you better be very, very careful.
Payroll is the priority. So
yes.
Employees and payroll. Great. Yes,
now,
Virginia.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is there's a little bit of mix-up about how to get these types of loans. So you can go on the website, but also there's some people that think, oh, I can only go to an SBA-preferred lender. So, for example, Golden Pacific Bank has been designated an SBA-preferred lender. It's out there, so everybody and their mother is calling us for these PPP loans.
Their father, too.
However, yeah, our phones are ringing. So what you need to realize is that other banks, credit unions, financial institutions that may not have that designation can quickly and rapidly apply to the SBA. It's supposed to be quickly turned around. The SBA will verify that they are indeed the institution that they say they are. So at this point, almost all banks and credit unions could potentially be a part of this program. So we urge you also to go to a trusted lender, someone you know, establish that lending relationship, and see if they can help you out with this PPP program if that's the way you want to go.
let's touch on that a bit. So basically, if you have been doing business with a bank in the past, they should be able to process this loan. So that's the interesting thing, that you can download the application. Do you have to have a bank? And you also made a comment early on, Joe, that these are bank loans. So do you have to go to a bank and have that loan processed through the bank once you do the application?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you have to take it to a bank that has an SBA relationship currently. Otherwise, that bank has to initiate that relationship. And I'm here to tell you that's not going to happen overnight. One thing that
but
I want to
large,
make sure,
for example, the large legacy banks, if a business has a relationship with them or their normal community bank, well, let's just say the larger banks, they should be able to process this for them also, right?
Absolutely. All of your name brand banks out there, your national banks, have a relationship with SBA. One thing I want to make sure that I get in here real quickly is that the payroll costs are capped at $100,000 on an annualized basis for each employee. So that's also important too. So if you have, 50 employees and 25 of them make $150,000 a year, they're going to reduce the amount you can borrow by $50,000 per employee when you do your calculation. So I think that's important for people to realize.
Okay.
Alan,
yeah.
When you were asking about the large banks and being able to go to any lender, I need to just say that not every bank has to do this, and not every bank wants to offer these PPP loans. We were talking earlier about guidance that's coming out. It's a moving target. So the statute says that the interest rate on these loans could be up to 4%. That came out of the administration and the statute. Well, the Treasury said as of yesterday that the rates on these were going to be 0.5 in a two-year term. When that came out, the large banks, a lot of them said, I don't want to do this. There's not enough money in it for me. Today, the Treasury, just a few hours ago, in fact, right before the call, Joe ran out to his computer and found out that it's changed to a 1%. So it's a moving target. There are some banks that are going to say, hey, we've gone through disasters in the past. We went through TARP. We went through these other government programs. We don't have a trust level, and they're not going to offer these programs. So, for example, with Golden Pacific Bank, we're being very careful. Joe's very detailed. We want to make sure the lenders know what they're not only the lenders know what they're getting into, but the borrowers know that their applications should be rock solid, because we don't want them to have to turn around and pay all this money back, or for the banks to be on the hook for this money. So you have to be really careful. And we could talk about this emergency economic injury disaster loan also with the SBA, but the reason why this PPP program is going through banks and credit unions as compared to the EIDL loans is because the SBA can't handle putting all this money out. Joe worked there. He knows. They can't handle it. They're hiring 10,000 people.
Yeah, they just don't have the staff or the bandwidth.
So basically what you're saying is if you have a relationship, an existing relationship with the bank, contact them. You're going to you can download the application, but you need a bank to process this. You need a bank to do the loan, and you need to check with the bank that you normally do business with. And they may or may not be involved in this particular program.
And it's important to know it's not just the application. You're going to have to provide backup documentation before the bank will process your loan, as well as backup documentation when you ask for the loan forgiveness. So it's just not a one-page sign on the dotted line and send it to your bank. You're going to need to provide the bank with some backup documentation to verify that number, i.e. that average payroll figure, in order for the bank to feel comfortable enough that they're going to submit that to SBA and get your loan funded.
Okay, so before we get into the EIDL, the Economic Injury Disaster Loans that SBA does do, do you anticipate, based on your call volume, that there's a lot of businesses that have an interest in applying for the Paycheck Protection Program?
Oh, yes. So the news is coming out, and they're talking about that forgiveness piece. It's been widely publicized. So in a way, this has developed a lot of hype. Everybody's hearing about it. So we're literally getting calls minute by minute. What we're doing as a bank is we're saying we're going to take care of our own customers first. So if you were a prior customer of Golden Pacific Bank, we're going to take care of you. We're a small community bank. We can't serve everybody. That's going to be the same with a lot of credit unions and other bankers. So there's also some hype about, oh, better get this in there while the money's there. The money's going to run out. So there's a rush. And that has come out and really kind of put a frenzy on a lot of folks that are really hurting right now.
I think we have an administration that really wants to make this program work. And I can see if they exhausted all their funds here and there were still plenty of businesses that needed to put their employees back to work and wanted to put their employees back to work, that we would see another bill, an appropriation from Congress and the president to make sure that there's enough money to be able to satisfy getting these people back to work.
I hope so.
Yeah, I don't think they want it to fail for a lack of money. And but there's, you know, there's a lot of hoops to go through here. And I think for people, if you can meet the criteria, I think this is the important part. The important aspect of this is be able to download that application, get your materials together, and be able to develop a relationship with a banker in your community, whether it be a legacy bank or a local bank, and be able to work with them to do that. So I think that's, you know, really great information about how this is a bank loan, not an SBA loan. And then maybe you can touch on the EIDL program, which is an SBA program.
Well, I'll take that. So the EIDL program, Emergency Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program, is also a disaster loan assistance created by the CARES Act, but it's more straightforward than the PPP. And it really hasn't gotten the same level of hype. And in a lot of ways, I think it could be a better fit for some of our small businesses out there. So in general, it provides loans of amounts up to $2 million. These loans have an interest rate of 3.75% with a 30-year term. And the good part about these loans is that repayment of the loan will start 12 months from the disbursement date of the loan. Joe just pointed out, actually, this EIDL program was predated back pre-CARES Act. So, but I think it still applies to a business with fewer than 500 employees. The nice thing too about the EIDL loan is that there's also waiving of several of the terms. So any rules related to the personal guarantee on advances and loans of not more than $200,000 are waived. Also, the requirement to be in business for the 1 year period before the disaster, that might be waived. There's no requirement that's normal for the SBA 7(a) loans for that ability to obtain credit elsewhere, that whole credit elsewhere where you have to prove that you tried to get loans elsewhere, that all gets waived. So there's certain provisions of EIDL that are, I think, a really good fit for a long term. And what Joe and I have been trying to tell our folks on the phone is you really need to look at what's the best loan for you. So some of these PPP loans, they sound really great, and great in the short term, but we don't know how you're going to fare in the long term. And so EIDL, I think, can be really good. The disaster folks over at the SBA are pretty good at processing these things pretty quickly. It's very clear about the interest rate. You can actually plan in a lot of ways about how your strategic plan will go under this EIDL program.
The EIDL loan is not, you can't forgive that though. You have to pay that back. Is that correct?
Correct. You have to pay that back. It goes through the SBA. It's funded directly through the SBA. You have to pay that back. So there's no provision where you get a grant or forgiveness. However, the good part about it is you have that reprieve where you don't have to pay for a 12-month period.
And you don't have the restrictions on how you have to spend the money on payroll in a certain period of time. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
And that's where you can access both the EIDL loan and the PPP program, as long as you don't, you know, and this is a technical term here, you don't double dip, right? So you can't you can't get an EIDL loan for payroll and then go get a PPP loan for payroll. So you can get an EIDL loan for, say you're a window contractor and you just purchased windows for a job that just got shut down. Well, you got to pay your supplier for those windows. And so that's where the EIDL loan can come in to help you pay for that, as opposed to the PPP program, which you really need to use for simply keeping your doors open and paying your employees.
We do know that the plan is, at least from the White House, that the loan application is going to start on April 3rd and more to come. And certainly the benefit of the PPP program, which has gotten a lot of the publicity, is that it's a payroll protection. You need to hire your employees, and that's what's driving the goal here, is to make sure people are going to be working for the next 2 months. And there is another option under the disaster loan that doesn't have as tight of restrictions, but doesn't have the forgiveness. So these sound like things, a good discussion. Hopefully our listeners have a relationship with a bank already. And it sounds like to be able to determine what's best for your business depends on what kind of business you have. And I find one of the things that's most ironic, but it certainly goes with the goal. You may not have any revenue coming in for the next 8 weeks, but the bank is going to loan you money that will be forgiven by the government if you hire people and pay them, even though you don't have any revenue coming in.
That seems to be the goal. As a banker, that just makes my skin crawl. I have to tell you that when you say it like that.
Well, but I think that's those are the goals, and
I think
everybody needs to know why I think it helps understand the context of what you can do here, because there's a goal here, and there's a goal here by the federal government, by Congress and the president, to keep people employed. It may not make perfect sense to you as a business person, but it has it makes sense to people who put the program together to try to get people back on the payroll, especially you can include healthcare in the calculation, and put them back on the payroll, even though you can look outside your door and there's nobody out there willing to spend money on you. So
that was a bit tongue in cheek, but you're right. I mean, we're all in this together. And so if we don't participate and help protect those businesses out there, then we're not going to have any customers tomorrow.
That's true. And also for a business that will hopefully expect to have revenues in 2 months, will already have their workforce on site and be ready to get up and running if they're able to all do that.
Alan, I just got to say, I admire the administration for getting this out so quickly. There's going to be some holes in it, but overall, I'm hopeful that this will keep our economy afloat. Watch out for scams, and I hope everybody's protected and that we get through this.
And wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
thank you, Joe, and thank you, Virginia. Thank you for joining us on The Workplace. Stay up to date on the most critical issues for employers during the COVID-19 crisis, and comment, share, and subscribe to Cal Chambers podcast by visiting calchamber.com.